Welcome to the Victor Collins Asabre podcast. We pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you and stir you up as you listen to this anointed, transformative, and down-to-earth teaching by Bishop Collins. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Enjoy the message.
Let's pray. Let's close your eyes. Speak in tongues. A few minutes. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Lift it up. Lift it up. Lift it up. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh Jesus, cabrones. Kaya bandara macabrandaraba. Macabara macabrandere me que bendiria rababa. Marandere me que brinde me queria bederere. Macabara baraba chicabara baraba cabrandaraba. Cabara baraba chicabara baraba cabrandaraba. Mandere me me kendere me me kendere re re re. Mandere me kendere bere arabara bara bara bara. Mandere me ne me kiri araba kabra basatara mana mana kandara. Maranda araba kabra ndara bara bara bara. Mandere ya bara 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 bara. Bara 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 bara. Makabara basatara bara bara. Mandere bere 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 bere. Marandere me que prenderia bara bara bara. Thank you, Jesus. And so praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father. Praise the Father. And praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, praise forever to the King. Sing it one more time. Praise the Father. Son,
raise the Spirit
softly.
And one God of glory, majesty,
praise forever to the King of Kings. Pray one more time. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three. Father, tonight, thank you for your presence. Speak to us again and again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. commitment. What, three or four? Four? Commitment, four. Some of you are not counting. Commitment, four. I want to start with the meaning of commitment, especially the second meaning. And I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to speak into your spirit to change. And somebody is changing from tonight. Commitment is an obligation that restricts freedom of action. An obligation that constrains you, that you can't freely move beyond that. Am I making sense to somebody tonight? So you are so committed to a cause that because of that commitment, you can't do something else. And when I talk about commitment, I'm talking about commitment not to your job, but to God. Tell your neighbor, commitment to God. I'm not here to tell you to go to work every day. That's not my business. You got to know whether you want to go to work every day. But I am here to tell you have to come to church every week. That's my business. Are you with me? I hope you understand my role. I'm not here to show you how to get money. If you don't want money, if you want money, you go find it somewhere. Go somewhere. Talk to somebody. Not me. I talk about God. I talk about church. That's my job. If you come and tell me about your girlfriend, I don't know anything about your girlfriend. I know about God. You and your landlady or your landlord or your boss, I don't understand anything about that. I only know about God. If I'm boring to you, you have to talk to somebody else. The Bible says the high priest is chosen from among men and ordained for men in things pertaining to God. I can't miss my role. I can't miss what... You see, when you have a job description, that's what you do, isn't it? How many of you have a job description that you're a security guard? I went to the Suriname Embassy one day, and the security guard wanted to inspect my passport. I said, what's your role? Yeah. Hours. You was a security guard. You don't even know how to read a Dutch passport. As I was riding with her, then an embassy staff was passing, so I started speaking in Dutch. And the embassy staff told me in Dutch that I should not allow people like that to control me in Dutch. Which means that the embassy staff didn't agree to what this lawless security guard was doing. If you go to Scotiabank, Carmichael Street, and these places, the security guards are like, they work at the bank. They tell you where to stand, like you heading good. Don't go there. Don't go here. Stand here. No. Please come here. No. They don't even have an account at Scotia. And so please don't confuse my role in your life with your boyfriend. Yeah. I'm here to direct you to God. And we're looking at commitment part four. And the definition of commitment that I think fits what I am teaching and talking about is the definition that says an obligation, your obligation to God that doesn't make you skip church for work. Your obligation to God that doesn't make you skip a meeting because you are tired. Because of school. Because we have a lot of funny school going people, UG kind of fantastic, kind of think beat that, like when you finish UG, you are in heaven or something. When you are committed to God, it's an obligation that doesn't allow you to freely do other things. If you are committed to a woman, if you are committed to a man, I'm sure all of us will agree that you can't freely be committed to another woman. How many understand that simple arithmetic? This is not calculus. This is not differentiation and integration. This is not Newton's law of motion. It's something that even the don't-sick person, the most don't-sick, you know don't-sick? Will tell you that, nah, you can't love me and then love somebody else. You can't be committed to me and be committed to another woman. As much as you don't own the man, you still tell him he can't do that. You are telling the man he's not Solomon. But then when it comes to God, we are free to love, to be committed to God and to our job. To the extent that you take a job that you work shift, you work Sundays, and God should understand. You think the woman will understand? The man will understand? It becomes domestic violence in the house. Start cuffing you in the house. The police will come and lock you up. Because he does not want to receive partial commitment. In the same way, and even greater, is the obligation to God that restricts your freedom of any other action. And I told you that don't focus much on, let me just ask Bishop for an excuse. I am not God. When you are committed, your eye will have to see beyond me. I mean, it's just courteous that, or polite, if you are not going to be in church, that you inform me, especially if you are very connected to an extent. But that shouldn't happen. I said, that shouldn't happen. Because your commitment will make you put other things aside for God and to God and for the church that you are committed to. Amen. And so tonight, commitment part 4 is leaving and cleaving. Oh yeah, I'm taking you to modern marriage. Commitment 4, leaving and cleaving. Ruth chapter 1, you remember? For those who think that, therefore shall a man leave his mother, therefore shall Ruth also leave her people and cleave to Naomi. Isn't it? So there's a type of commitment that is so deep that it is comparable or is the same as marriage. Hallelujah. Ruth chapter 1, the Bible says that, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Commitment is to leave and cleave. And I'm saying that when it comes to relationships, when it comes to touching somebody's body, when it comes to somebody giving you money, when it comes to hooking up and call up and Adam thing, people want it all the time and for them only. And regularly. But when it comes to cleaving to God, God understands. You will understand that God uses that same word in marriage, like we all know. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You have that scripture? I've moved away from Ruth. I'm in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Comment 24, leaving and cleaving. Now, leaving is equally important as cleaving. Your cleaving depends on your leaving. If you don't leave completely, you can't cleave completely. And so your level of cleavage, your level of cleaving, how thick you can be connected to one another, how thick you can be connected to God, how thick you can be connected to the church, depends on how many things you have been able to leave. And so you realize that in our commitment in the church, we have so many things inside our lives. Now, again, we have to think that God is a stupid God to only receive our cleaving that has a dust inside. And then when it comes to relationships, you want somebody to leave everything that you think may have an influence on the person in your relationship. I don't like that brother you talk to. It becomes a problem in the house. I don't like that sister you talk to. Some people can be so possessive that even in a church, they'll watch you and tell their spouse that sister who is come and greet you after church, I don't like you. Those two sisters, that is the extent to which we are so much in love with cleaving. Leaving and cleaving. We will make sure that any dust, and you know, when you are putting a screen protector on your phone, you have to make sure that the screen is clean. There's a special cloth, like a chamois type of cloth. You can't use your toilet tissue or use your kerchief or your face towel. No, there's a special cloth they use to clean and wipe the face of the cell phone, and then you take the screen protector. And then you take it off. It's just like you are leaving. As long as the screen protector is able to leave whatever it is attached to, then the most important part now here is the cleaving. If you have dust, if you have particles, you see that when you place it on the in front of the phone, bubbles. It means that the leaving, the something has come between the leaving and the cleaving. That has not made the cleaving perfect. You have to buy another screen protector because this thing, it looks wobbly, wobbly, air bubbles. You try to blow dry it, hot air, and it's not going. So the Bible says that a man leaves his father. Not a woman. And his mother, not the woman. And then the man is the one who cleaves to his wife. So the man is a screen protector that leaves that sticking whatever and then makes sure that there is nothing that prevents the cleaving. It is only then that commitment can be a forever commitment, like Ruth and Naomi's commitment. You see, your people will be my people. Where you die, that's where I'll die. What you eat, that's what I'll eat. Hardly will people tell you those things. Any of them stupidness? You think I'm stupid? Yeah, this nonsense must stop. I gotta secure myself. You see, the other day I heard one or two things and I was just asking myself. You can be a Christian wife, right? I think there are two sides to this coin. So hear me well. You can be a Christian wife and then you register for a land. Okay? Then when they call you, you get married. But then you are still registered as a single person there. You never change it to a married woman to put your husband's name on it. The woman is securing herself. You see, that it's all right. But the precedence you are setting is a precedence that will not connect the two of you properly. The flip side of this coin is that if you also do it with a man, then in the future, there's a breakup and then there's a fight over the property. So we are a set of confused people here on earth. And I have a policy. And the people around me, they know. I'm sure you probably know. I trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you. That's how I operate. You can call me stupid, it's okay. But I will trust you until I discover that you are not trustworthy. Then I'll take my trust away. Apart from that, if you tell me lies, I'll say, oh, that's what the person told me. I mean, what love believes all things. So I'm not going to say, Jamal, you sure? As you sister? No, I ain't able to hurt me head. I am not walking around with suspicion in my head that, are you sure it's his sister? Are you sure it's she brother? Man, it doesn't look so. I don't have space in my head for that. There are too many important things in life for me to think about than to think about something that could be possible. That wouldn't give me anything but stress. But if there's something inside, one day it will come up. Jesus said there's nothing hidden that cannot be revealed or that will not be revealed. Then you see that you have child mother and child father who apply for a land together. It's mysterious. It's like the Bible says, like a mystery, Proverbs chapter 10, isn't it? There are six things that are mysterious in this world. There are five, and there are six that are that baffles me. Solomon said, a maid who takes over a mistress's marriage. All kinds of things. It's not fantastic. You have child mothers and child fathers application in their names and they are not married. They love each other bad. But the ones who are Christians and married, woman looking after Sheila, man looking after Hila. That precedence to me is an antidote to leaving and cleaving. You see, there's something I've learned over the years in dealing with my leaders. I know how to fire pastors who are not performing. I know it. I know how to write a letter and say, from today, you are not a pastor anymore. To me, being a pastor is equal to being a serious Christian. Nothing more than that. Should I say it again?
The day you stop being a pastor, you will not serve God anymore. That's Guyana thing, right? So that's why when somebody is a pastor, I don't see the person as somebody who is doing miracles, opening blind eyes, lame is walking. For me, it's somebody who's a more of a serious member. And so the gap that is missing, I overlook it. So when somebody who's a pastor now tells me that they are leaving the church or they've left the church, then their judgment is greater because for all the time that they did upon stupidness in the church, I didn't fire them. In the same way, I'm trying to say that when you and him apply, it's not that you're stupid. Let something happen and let whatever happens happen. But at least from the way go, you do things the right way. Don't start holding on to things and then that is exactly what is going to happen. Your future is just like how you started the thing. Yeah. Let God be the judge and let God avenge you. Let's say down the line, the man cheats you, something, something, and you have to divorce or something. Let God be the judge in that matter. Most of the things we don't allow room for God. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So you have to look stupid for God to judge your case for you. But no. People, Christians want to be wise. We want to take things into our own hands. We want to be in control. No. What can you do? What more damage can you do than God? So the man leaves his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. It means that for somebody to be committed to God, you have to look at living parents and their opinions about your faith. When it comes to commitment to God, it is not what the parents say. Especially if what the parents say is not in line with your commitment to God. In the same way, you cannot be a man married to a woman and your father is still giving you advice. You are a boy. You are not a man. Therefore shall a boy, no, a man. So when a man is not able to leave, he's not a man, he's a bi. B for bi. Because you are married and you are still talking to your father, it means that you can't. You see, when you're a man, you start thinking for yourself. God now begins to, just as the laws of countries treat 18-year-olds as mature people, they can make their own decisions. Much more when you get to the point of taking somebody's daughter into your care, you must be able to make your own decisions. So you leave your father, then you also leave the food of your mother. You don't go to your mother's house and then you put a little food in a bag and then you are going to your marital home. You're always at your mother's place. Always at your father's place. Always taking advice, always taking food. Oh, ask for my mother's food here. Nobody can beat her. No, you are not ready. Is that a good message? Yeah. And this, even though this goes for the man is mentioned here, it's important the man is mentioned here because he is the one who assumes a very great responsibility. But it goes for the woman as well. The woman cannot love and be committed to her husband in the sense that she is always talking to her father and talking to her mother. Anytime there's an issue, your mother comes here, your mother brings money. Your mother is helping you to disrespect your husband. Yeah? And I've told you, Guyanese mothers, they are unspiritual, totally unspiritual. Yeah. I've learned 19 years I've been laboring in this vineyard. I've never seen a woman yet, lady pastor or lazy pastor, who puts her foot down when it comes to her children. Never. Don't let me start calling names. Including those who are not even pastors. So you cannot be committed to God if you have certain relationships. Those relationships will not help you to be committed properly to God. The relationships will obscure, it will affect your commitment to God. I mean, if you love somebody or somebody has control over you, and when you are going to church, you say, oh man, it's late, man, why don't you stay with me? Someone who, when you are going to church, can get vexed, and that you don't want that vexation. That is a bad relationship when it comes to commitment. I'll say it again. Anybody you have in your life who, because of, cannot freely go to church and be in church and be free in church, that relationship is a bad one. It's a relationship that you must leave so that you can be able to cleave in commitment for. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You see, people don't understand when the scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? We of course, we emphasize on the things that the world has. That as long as you are in this world, you have to. But it is those things that if you have them, you are also tempted not to be committed fully. You see, there were some early Christians who didn't care about work, didn't care about business, didn't care about anything. They were just for God. And people thought they were stupid. You and this God, 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 God. You try that. Get up and go and find a walk. That's what somebody will tell you. Thinking that you have rather made a bad decision. And they have made a good decision because they've gone to school, they have a certificate, they are working in a certain environment, they are qualified. So they think that their life is far better than you. Who wants to just focus on God and not on anything? It's according to the person's faith. The just shall live by faith. And so there are some things you have to leave if you are going to be committed in commitment for. And number one is some physical locations. There are some places you shouldn't go there if you are going to be committed to God. Because when the Bible talks about leaving and cleaving, your father, your mother, they have a home. It means that physical place, that where your mother and father stays, you don't go there. You leave there. Every week you are at your parents' place and you say you are married. You are a joker. Every day after work, you just go to your mother's place before you go home. You are not married. I say you are not married. Yeah, don't remember. And so your commitment to God will demand that you don't go to certain places. Are we good? True? Yeah. There are certain places you can't go. You can't go to the rum shop if you want to be committed to God. I mean, I'm not saying that don't go and drink, but going to drink, it takes away your commitment to God. Yeah? Don't go and say the bishop said you can't go to rum shop. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that to be able to live and cleave, there are some locations that you if you don't leave, you'll be like the sticker of screen protector on a phone that is not sticking well, and it becomes useless. In fact, one of the things that we say in marriage, you get it, is that when it comes to marriage counseling, is that it is the man who goes to cleave. So when the marriage doesn't work, it's the man who could not cleave. Hey, men, we are in trouble. Oh. Because the phone is the phone. There's nothing leaving the phone to go anywhere. It is you who is leaving the sticker you are on to come and clap here. You are leaving your father and your mother to come and be pasted here. So it is your pasting that makes the screen protector's purpose perfect. If you don't paste well, you can't say it's the phone. No, your pasting, your sticking ability that you came with couldn't get him walking. That's how we take nonsense in marriage. I said, that's how we take nonsense in marriage. This nonsense, it is not going to stop. Why do you think people take nonsense in marriage? Yeah, you are there cool. Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. There are some places you can't go there and be committed to God. Physical location, there are some physical places you can't. Burner Boy is coming. No. I'm sorry that you are going to listen to a boy, not a man. A boy has something to offer you, a big person like you. So physical locations.
Yeah,
you have to take back your ticket. Yeah. Yeah, you can't give it to anybody. It's not allowed in the church to pass your ticket to anybody. Facebook Marketplace. Like that. Are you following? So the leaving to cleaving, Ruth had to leave her country to be able to connect to Naomi properly. It's like a long-distance relationship. You have this relationship, it's on video. Every time you're calling each other, and you're doing... You stupid. don't you like... You have to... Somebody has to leave. And not come and kiss phone. Come and kiss properly.
Stop asking for pics.
Yeah. Stop asking for pictures and videos. Your phone is full of pornography. Self-made, self-imposed pornography. Somebody has to leave somewhere so that you can cleave properly. Baby, I can't wait to see you, you know. You can't wait. Change your mind. Don't change your mind. It ain't working. Yeah, many people don't like long distance relationship. Yeah. So, location. Tell your neighbor, tell the location. There are some people, you see, there are some people in some locations, you have to avoid them. you are going to be committed to God. Number two, you have to leave financial opportunities. There are some financial offers and economic offers that you have to let go. I'm telling you. You see, if you don't learn to give up something for God, you are not committed. No. You see, there are some pastors who see America and green card as a major thing. I am very different. Maybe a blue card, not a green one. They are Guyanese. They have the green card, and it's pride. They can go there, stay for 6 months, and come. And you say you are a pastor with a church. When David went to see his brothers with roasted corn, when Goliath was threatening to fight the Israelites, the brothers asked David, "Who have you left in charge of the sheep?" You see, because they knew him as the shepherd, and being around was awkward. They knew him to be somebody who always was with the sheep. So it was questionable that, so what happened to the sheep? What are you doing here? So if you're a pastor, what are you doing 6 months in America? And you know what some people do? And I only found that here in Guyana. Some pastors will go to America for 6 months. Then they will invite you to go and preach in their church Sunday morning when they are not there. A lot of Guyanese pastors do that. They invite you to preach in their church when they are not there. Oh, yes. Financial dependence. If you depend on your parents for finances, you are not matured. If you are married and you still receive stipend for your parents to look after somebody's daughter, you are a boy. You see, the world has created its own way of marriage and relationships to the extent that sometimes mommy and daddy will say, you know what, ma, just live downstairs. You ain't got for pay rent. Or build at the back of this space. You see, it's a very ghetto-like structure to have space at the back of your house and somebody's building at the back of your house. If you go to a very proper environment, people don't build behind somebody's houses. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. And people are falling to that invitation to build behind their parents' houses. God's word says leave. But you say, no, I will do the marriage, but I will not leave. No, I love God. I won't be committed to God, but I can't stop collecting this boy's money. This guy gives me money, but I love God. But this money, if I don't get this money, my salary don't do nothing. And so you end up just like a man who goes to his father and says, "Daddy, please for a little something. My wife needs money to buy a shoe." So the money that you are getting to buy a shoe is not from him. He's collecting it from his father. I'm sure some women don't mind. You don't care as long as you get your money to buy your shoe. Two shoes. But then it means that the person is not responsible enough to have you as somebody they are looking after or taking care of. In the same way, if you cannot generate money to look after yourself, you don't need anybody else. Because your commitment to God should restrict you from taking money from a man, taking money from a woman, having some financial arrangement somewhere that keeps you going. It will spoil your cleaving to God, your commitment to God. Your hand will be in that person's mouth. So you have to pat the person. Say, oh, man, next time, man. Because if you don't do that, your fingers are gone. Sometimes it may not be a man or woman. It may be your fancy job that gives you a lot of money. Yes. Now, I was in Jubilee 3.
I visited their church, their Jubilee church. The other day. And I was sharing with them about Jonathan Shuttlesworth. You see, people think that if you are not following after money and you are a Christian, that you will do nothing. It's how you see it. The word of God is completely different. It's God who told Abraham, I will prosper you. It's God who told Isaac, I will prosper you. It's God who told Jacob, I will prosper you. It's not Jacob who had a business idea or got a job with Exxon and that he became prosperous. No. These people that we are supposed to follow in the Bible, it is God himself who took a special interest in them and prospered them. So this pastor called Jonathan Shuttlesworth, he gave gifts unto men at the First Life Center a while ago. I think it was last year or so. And you see in the current crusades, you see him with prophet. The prophet will let him preach, at a pastor's conference, and then at the fire conference that takes place the morning after the crusade. Now, we were told that this American man who has a church, he doesn't even have a building. I think he uses a basketball court or something like that in Pittsburgh. We were told that, he's a very much sought after a preacher. He goes all over. And he invites big men to his church. We heard that when he goes to churches, what he does is that he shows Healing Jesus campaign clips. And then he takes offerings to support Prophet in Healing Jesus campaigns. It's like another pastor who has taken so much interest in this that you and I are from the house and we are not interested. So it is something that has been noticed. Now, he posted on X about 2 days ago. He doesn't own a house. He rents a house. But in Pittsburgh, one of the best real estate agents told him that the Lord is telling him to bless him with a house. Not $5,000 or not a bicycle, not a car. That the Lord has told him to bless him with a house. And the house was listed on the website for $849,000. Are you listening? This is somebody who goes around preaching, has connected himself to prophet to organize money and send it to him. I took interest in it because of how, what we were. Yeah, thank you. 846,000. 846,000. Yeah. So, and he said that the man said God told him to bless the pastor with a house. So you see, he's doing church, he's moving around preaching, he actually flies a private jet. So a while ago, I saw him, somebody sent him a check of $1 million. So this is the house that the guy said, the real estate, the realtor said, God said, he should sow it into his life. Then he said, you know what? He feels like he should round it up and make it a million. And so the 164,000, he will spend that in furnishing whatever he needs in the house and then buy a car for his wife. So he put this on X as a testimony. Carried $1 million. A pastor who doesn't own a house, he has moved from not owning a house to owning a $1 million house. By working, by doing stock exchange, no, by his cleaving, his commitment to God and focusing on God, God has blessed him. Is it $1,846,000 house? 2 billion Ghanaians. Many popular people, famous people cannot. In fact, people who buy this is mortgage. And he is just owning it from day one. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Because of what he's doing. It doesn't happen. And so, commitment four, you leave so that you can cleave. Your commitment is incomplete if you can't get rid of certain things in your life. So watch money. Watch money. Watch the things that the monies that seem to be floating here, floating there. Watch those things. Watch money. Watch money. Because the money now will affect your connection
to God.
I thank God I left money. One of the reasons why I'm in Guyana is that I said bye-bye to money. So when you see me prosperous, don't jealous me. Tell your neighbor, don't jealous the man. Because I left Europe. You want me to become poor as I've left money? I've told money I don't respect him. So he has to be quiet and say, yes, sir, boss man, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Oh, please don't send me back, please. I want to be close to you. I said, get away. I said, no, boss man, I want to move with you. I said, all right, come, let me go. Come, let me go. But you gotta shut your mouth, okay? Come, let me go. Because it is those who prove a certain discipline or control over money, they are the ones who qualify to get money. It is people who are able to discipline themselves when money is concerned or are able to control money. It is those people that get money. But people who are so open, licorice, greedy, looking for money, you don't qualify to be rich. The Bible says, he that is hasty to be rich, he has an evil eye. And he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. So, finances. Be careful of jobs that offer you more money, but then will hold you down with your time, that you may not be able to fulfill your godly commitment. Be careful of such jobs. Be careful of this man with a big belly who is pushing the little money in your bank account and put it up on your phone and pay your bills. Be careful, because that your hand is in that man's mouth. Is it mouth we call it? Mouth. Not mouth. Mouth. If a man is going to leave his father and his mother, he's going to leave the financial dependence. That's why at a point when I started doing my national service, I was getting a stipend allowance. My father had a small warehouse in the house. There's a room, it's locked. He has soap, he has cleaning detergent, he has soap powder. He has milk. He has all these nice things. He has it in the room. And whenever we run out of something,
he goes and he opens the door and he picks one up. He gives you and he locks back the door. He goes to room.
So anytime my bathing soap finishes, I tell Daddy, Daddy, open it and then give me soap. Anytime the bulb in my room goes bad, Daddy will give me a bulb. When I started national service, I was getting allowance. I one day I asked him for a bulb. He said, you should buy your own bulb. you got money now, you got to buy your own bulb. I guess he was trying to introduce me to financial independence, which makes me a man. In the same way, if you are going to depend on money, you can't be committed to God. Just as you cannot be committed to a wife if you're still getting money from your father and your mother. You're a boy if that is happening. Wait until the time where they are no more. You see how you'll be fighting for the things they left behind. You'll be fighting your sister, fighting your brother for some small land that it's not worthy to fight about. But you were used to collecting money. Now that mommy or daddy is not there, you can't stand on your feet. In the same way, if you are going to look at money, you cannot be committed.
And mind you, in those places where they offer you more money, it's a trick. They will also look for your time. They will demand your commitment. Yeah. I know a lady who has a remote control in her bag. That remote, whenever the remote control, beep! If she's asleep, she has to wake up and answer the remote control.
Can't be a good one. I should be able to sleep without anybody bothering me. He who the sun sets free is free indeed.
But you see, because of the commitment, you can't beat out. And some of these things actually break your faith in God, because you get so connected to these things that you can't walk by faith. In the same way that a man cannot look after a woman if he's afraid, he can't manage the house, he can't buy this, daddy, you buy. Want me wife want bigger TV, man. The TV, he round every day, a little TV, go take something from course, and that, you know, you are not qualified. There's no faith. You can't stand on your feet. You are afraid to believe in God. You're a baby.
Number three, we are living so that we can cleave to God in commitment. Four. This one is heavy. It's a couple. We are living the influence, direction, counsel of parents and other members of the extended family. So influence, direction, counsel of parents. Because when you say, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Well, think about Ruth. I'm sure Ruth had relatives. It means that as she opted to follow Naomi to her country, she was leaving aside the influence, the direction, the counsel. And there were no cell phones in those days, so her mother can't call her and say, Ruth, where are you there? You still following that woman? Girl, when you go catch yourself, but girl, the woman spits in your mouth. Yeah. When you say you are leaving, you have to leave the influence of people. There are some of you don't have a mind of your own. I said, there are some of you don't have a mind of your own. You are easily influenced by the wrong type of people. Even when you come to the church. Yeah. You find, it's amazing how
all your life in Guyana, you never had a friend until you came to this church. Is this church that you have some tight friend that when you do upon stupidness, their friend also do upon stupidness too? Yeah, it is in this church that you come to take a friend. You can leave the church together. So the primary school, the nursery school you went to, the primary school you went to, the secondary school you went to that you didn't finish, didn't you make a friend there? You come to make a friend at Good Shepherd Church and it's corruption. Influence, bad influence. Yeah. I don't want to dance this Sunday. Girl, do you want to dance? You want to dance? Nah, let me not dance, man. Me got no costume. Me and everybody no costume. I tired and fed up with costume. Girl, you got costume? Don't buy no costume, man, girl. We good. Yeah, I tired of costume. Influence. The influence of people, friends, whatever, will also prevent you from fully committing to God. Do you have somebody who influences you? You are not ready for commitment. Directing. I told you a while ago that many of you lack pastoral care. You lack godly direction. Because you have people in your lives who counsel you and direct you. It's true. Yeah, it's true. It gives me less work. Yeah. But it's your problem that increases. My work is less. Yeah, anger for boss me head for Lord, what are you saying to this lady as she has come to talk to me about this? I drink coffee and biscuit, Shelly biscuit and coffee. Yeah, nice. Coconut Shelly biscuit. Yeah, the big green pack. The counsel, the advice. Charlie, don't let people advise you who are not spiritual. If you want to be committed to God, you can't listen to your parents. You want to be committed to a woman or a man, you can't listen to your parents. You see how many people you don't listen to. When you get by a friend, you don't listen to you, mother. You want, I can't tell you nothing. Yeah, good girl gone by. When you get mad, you don't listen to your mother. Yeah, use abuse. Yeah, she put you out and she take you back. She put you back and take you out. Hey, you ain't gonna leave the man out there for nothing. Yeah, moving by the man. Then the man's mother call you data in lag. Stupid. There is no law. There's no law. You are deceived. There's no law. Your data in lawlessness. Yeah. Influence, direction, counsel. Watch those things. Who influences you? Who counsels you? Who directs you? If it's not the Spirit of God, if it's not a godly person God has placed in your life, it is going to affect your commitment to God. Number four, the last one. This is commitment four. Leaving and cleaving. As I'm preaching, you have to identify the things in your life that you have to leave for. That is when the message becomes practical for you. And it was a good message. Then you're going back to the man with a big stomach.
Eli now waiting for you. You come and pick up Stanley Town. Nobody will see it. Abosher, yeah. I see other people. Well, will you get pick up Abosher? From my tower, I see Allah here. We see them here. The dog in the car. We see you cry. Yeah. So I don't go to turn right here. Turn on the bridge. Turn on the bridge. There we go. Yeah. You have to leave close friends. Close friends. Close friends. Me and he went to school together. Close friends. Yeah. Close friends. It's my best friend. You see, many people are influenced by their so-called best friend. Yeah. BFF. Best friends forever. Like this one. It's a cockroach. No, best friends, so-called best friends, seem to have an influence on people. Yeah, because they are given room and space in the lives of those who see them as best friends. If you're married, you have a best friend who's not married. They'll tell you things that they know nothing about. Impractical advice. Whereas you are following somebody who doesn't have a track record. You see, if you listen to the blessing of fruitfulness, Prophet was saying that if you listen to the message, you see that people who don't have a record, they can't have influence. You can't allow people who don't have a record of fruit and things around, can't talk to you, can't advise you, can't lead you. Can't influence you. If you want to talk to me, show me what you have first. Yeah. That's why if you go to someone else, you want to interrogate it, you have to lift up your badge. You're from the NYPD or FBI. You have to show what gives you the right, your badge, what gives you the right to come here and be asking me questions I don't want to answer. Close friends. Watch your close friends. Sometimes not even close friends outside, close friends in the church. I die. Yeah, man. Close friends. So-called close friends. They will fight your commitment. They will kill your commitment. Yeah. They will pour cold water down on your commitment. Because it takes commitment for anything to work. It takes commitment for anything to work. And in the church, it is not anything else also but commitment. David Augustine must be committed to God. I believe that when we do that, God will take us to somewhere. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. As commitment for. Yeah. Last week, Pastor Joshua said, I think it was Sunday. Was he here on Sunday? He wasn't. Okay. So he told me, he said, he's waiting for the podcast. Yeah. And so when he listened to the podcast, then he messaged me. He was waiting to hear what went on. I'm sure he's waiting for this podcast also tomorrow. Commitment for. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You're helping us, you're opening our eyes. You need our full attention. You want us to love you, our God, with all our hearts, fully committed to you. That is when you can really take us somewhere. That's really when you can count on us and help us and lead us and release the precious things that are heaven bound into our lives. I pray that we will not be the same again after this commitment series, but that we will become solid. I see establishment. I see roots going deeper and deeper into you, O God, and into your church. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. You're not born again. I say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, every eye closed, every head bowed. I want to lift up your hand. Bishop, please pray for me. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die. Right now, I'm not sure if you're like that here. Just your right hand. Just your right hand. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to be saved. Just your right hand up high. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Okay, there's a hand up. Okay, sir, you want to come? Come to me, sir. Let me pray with you. God bless you. Come. Come, sir. God bless you. Clap for him. Yeah. Anita, come with him. Yeah, come here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. We're going to heaven together. Are you clapping? Wow. Oh, are you clapping? Are you clapping? The big man is giving his life to Jesus Christ today. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Let's close our eyes. My dear brother, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he shed his blood for my sake. I receive the love of Jesus. I receive the cleansing of his blood. I open my heart and I receive Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. From today, I receive Jesus and I allow Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe with all my heart that by this simple prayer, my life has changed. My life has changed. I am free indeed. I believe my name is in the book of life and I'm a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For booking and more information on the ministry of Victor Collins, please call us on 592-691-5301 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. God richly bless you.